Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Okay, Jim McGovern, Massachusetts has some politics going on in addition to the Washington politics. Have you found a candidate you want to support for governor?
Well, not yet. But, you know, I haven't really paid much attention to that race yet, because we seem to be having special election after special election after special election in so many other areas. But look, they're all, I mean, there's a good field that's announced, but I'm going to keep my powder dry and, you know, and wait to listen and learn about the issues like everyone else.
Can we parse the race a little bit, though, without your endorsing anybody? Yeah. But you have Martha Coakley. She didn't do well the last time out. Now she's doing it again. Freud said character never changes. Is she going to run an insipid campaign again, or can we expect something better?
Look, we all learn from our mistakes. You know, I mean, when I first ran for office, I lost my primary in a crowded field. I wasn't a very good candidate. The second time around, I was much better. And I think the same thing, you know, for Martha Coakley. I mean, look, she would have been a great United States Senator. She was a little bit of an awkward candidate, but, you know, I think she's kind of learned from some of the mistakes. And certainly, I think she's a lot of the things that people criticized her for when she ran against Scott Brown, since then, I think, are no longer issues. And I think she's going to run a much more dynamic campaign.
And she's got a lot of name recognition.
She does.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Steve Grossman. Obviously, he wants to be the governor. Obviously, he has a great deal going for him, but far less known, I suspect.
I mean, being treasurer of the Commonwealth is an important position, but it's, you know, not a position that gets widely covered. There is a name recognition issue. But he's a, you know, he's a smart guy and cares deeply about the issues as well. And, he's absolutely a credible candidate.
Why do Republicans win in gubernatorial races in blue state Massachusetts?
Well, because sometimes they have a better message. They run better campaigns, obviously. I mean, look, I think, I think they also tend to be more moderate in their approach to campaigning than some of the Washington Republicans are. They try to distance themselves from what's happening here in Washington. So they get to kind of run as moderates. And there's a certain appeal to that. But I think in addition to the Martha Coakley and Steve Grossman, I mean, you get Don Berwick, who's an interesting guy. Joe Avalone is another guy running. There's some really impressive people who aren't very well known, who are out there running. Juliette Kayyem is running. She's a very accomplished person. I mean, there's some really interesting people out there that I think as the campaign goes on will get a lot more attention as well. So we have a very, very good field, and I think whoever the nominee is will be in a very strong position to beat the Republican.
Okay, now back to national politics. Let me just name a couple of things. I think what's standing in the way is obviously what's going on in Washington right now, but we're talking, in addition to immigration reform, the farm bill status. We're talking about the need for tax reform.
Right.
We're talking about, and this is something you really know very well as an expert, the SNAP benefits for people. So all of those obviously are on the back burner, but let me try starting with the farm bill. We have a lot of farms in Massachusetts.
We do.
And I don't think, if you're looking down at Massachusetts from an airplane, you see those farms.
No,
I think a lot of people know it.
And I've been visiting a lot of those farms as part of my newly configured congressional district. No, we need a farm bill. These farmers need a farm bill. They need certainty. They need to know that they can depend on certain programs and, you know, for not a month at a time, but for 5 years. And the farm bill hopefully is going to go to conference. They moved to go to conference last week. Nancy Pelosi appointed me as one of the Democratic conferees, so I'm going to be on that Congress committee trying to talk about some of the needs of the farmers in Western Massachusetts, as well as the importance of a good nutrition title. The notion that if you're going to cut $40 billion out of SNAP, you know, and throw 3.8 million people off the program, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids will lose their free school breakfast and lunch, and you're going to throw 170,000 veterans off of food stamps is unconscionable. And so I'm going to be trying to push back as hard as I can on that. But look, you know, one of the jobs of Congress is to get a farm bill passed, and it's been more difficult than usual, given the fact that again, some of the people on the extreme right just have this total hatred of government. So anything that is government related, they're against. So it's hard for them to you know, to be able to get the votes for anything. But we're going to go to conference, and hopefully we can get a decent farm bill, and one that you know, will help our farmers, and one that will make sure the people in this country don't go hungry.
Are the farmers watching? I mean, after all, in the old days, farmers were pretty much Republicans.
Right.
And we see some change in that now. But will they hold people responsible who mess up their bill?
Yeah, I hope so. Again, I mean, you know, I always tell people that you know, there are responsibilities to being a citizen of this country, and one of those responsibilities is you got to pay attention, you know, and you got to care about who you vote for in elections, because you know, that's the only way you're going to change things, and so I've noticed that that there are a lot more farmers all across this country who I know have contacted us who are very concerned about the inaction by Congress on a farm bill, and so I think you know, I think they are taking notice. And the same thing within the nutrition community. I think people are starting to understand the cruelty involved with throwing 3.8 million people off of SNAP. You know, the majority of people on that program are senior citizens and children, and of those who are able to work, the majority of them work. And you know, I've talked to people who are where two people are working in the family, making minimum wage, and they still can't get out of poverty because their wages are so low that they still qualify for SNAP. I mean, you know, we have to figure out a way to fix that. But in the meantime, I mean, how do you punish people who are working but can't earn enough in wages to you know, to put food on the table?
Well, but doesn't it just come down, Jim McGovern, to the fact that they're more likely to be Democrats than Republicans, and the Republicans don't like that?
Yeah, well, I you know, I haven't done a poll of everybody who's who's ever been a recipient of SNAP or any kind of assistance for, you know, for low-income people. But, I mean, you know, it shouldn't matter. It just shouldn't matter. I mean, you know, we live in the greatest country in the world. I believe that. I don't say that out of any sense of, you know, false bravado or anything like that. I just, you know, I mean, and I think that, you know, we ought to aspire to a point where there is nobody who is hungry in this country. We got 50 million people who are hungry, 17 million are kids. I mean, this is a scandal, and we can fix it. And, you know, I've been working on the White House to try to take a leadership role on doing a White House conference on food and nutrition, so we can actually come up with a plan, because in the United States of America in the year 2013, there is no plan to end hunger. We have lots of programs to deal with different aspects of hunger, but we don't have a plan to end it. We can, you know, next year is the 50th anniversary of the war on poverty. We ought to use that, you know, moment to launch another war on poverty and, you know, and actually lift people up in this country. You know, one of the things that really bugs me about all this conversation about our budget is that all the conversation tends to focus on how you diminish the quality of life for people, how you lessen their standard of living. I think we ought to be reversing that. We ought to be figuring a way to lift everybody up. And I think by doing so, you could end up generating more revenue to put toward deficit reduction and paying down our debt and getting everything in order. But this notion that the only possible, you know, choices we have are to, you know, make sure that Mrs. O'Leary, who makes 15 grand a year on Social Security, doesn't get a cost of living adjustment. That's just, to me, just wrong.
Jim McGovern, always a pleasure to have you with us. You speak your mind. I love that. And it's terrific to have you with us. And I hope you'll just keep on coming back.
Anytime you want me. Thank you so much.